Nicola Taylor. Nicola, are you here? Do you mind coming up a little earlier? You've got probably a little bit...
Well, I have 15 minutes.
Then. You've got a bit of extra time. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
First, I'd like to say thank you for hearing the submission. We obviously had an overview of the plan, and my comments are specific to the site-led programme in Maui relating to cats. Are you in charge of that?
Put a book under it.
I think I've tightened it a little bit. That's helped. So there were two areas that I wanted to cover. One was obviously within the plan we've got various definitions of cats. And specifically, we've got the neutered, microchipped, registered domestic cats. So we've put that on. I've put that under the area of responsible pet ownership. And then secondly, the second point later on, around the definition that's been used for feral cats and references through some of the proposals and the cost benefit analysis to stray cats and colony cats. So, the Maui site-led proposal, we have feral cats which are defined as the pest. They're obviously covered, the feral cats are allowed to be covered under the... I'll sit at the right level. So basically, under the Biosecurity Act, feral cats can be included as a pest in the Regional Pest Management Plan, which is obviously where they're covered. And there is a definition given of a pest, which a feral cat, which I'll discuss later on part two. Then we've got unneutered domestic cats, which are classed as a pest agent. Again, there's some other discussion around that. The proposal being that they will reproduce and allow the maintenance of the feral cat population. Moving on to that, we have the neutered microchip registered domestic cats, which throughout the plan are not considered a pest. They're exempt from the rules, and they're not covered within the proposal. So the interesting point is that category of cat has been allowed to stay on Stewart Island. And despite that, within Maui, there's a 6-month registration period for domestic cats, which doesn't seem to be justified within the plan. As I say, they haven't been included, obviously they can't be included as a pest, and there's no definition within the plan anywhere that says that you're neutered, i.e. your responsible pet owner's cat, is a problem within the plan. So I guess, obviously, Maui is a residential area. I know there's been mixed feedback. I think if there is a proposal to permanently remove domestic pet cats owned by responsible owners from that area, I think it does need to be more transparent in the plan. The reasons for removing them need to be included, and I think they do need to be clearly addressed and justified. Obviously, there is potential to set a precedent within New Zealand, and I think if that was to be done, it needs to have been included a bit more visibly in the plan, with reasons being given for why that category of cat is not being allowed. So So looking at the geographic location of Maui, so compared to Stewart Island, if you thought of sitting in Bluff going over to Stewart Island, we've got 30 kilometres of pretty rough sea getting from Bluff to Stewart Island. Someone's just swum that strait. It took them about 9 hours. It's pretty tough water. So to think of a cat managing to get from Bluff over to Stewart Island is not that likely. If we look at the boundaries around Maui, they're not that distinct. So essentially the movement of cats of any description, be them feral, stray cats, colony cats, domestic cats, from outside those areas, is actually pretty easy. If you look at the Mokomoko Inlet, which would come to the right of the slide, at low tide you can actually walk across there. So again, we've got free access for cats all around that area. There's been no proposal for any sort of predator fencing, and I really feel that without a better definition and better containment outside the area, that the justification of, again, removing that the responsible cat owner's pet cat is not reasonable. So moving on from there and going back to, as I say, the swim across the Bobo Strait was done to raise awareness for mental health, and that's a topic in New Zealand that is being looked at the minute. So if we look forward onto the benefits of cat ownership, so I'm aware of benefits, but I did go onto Google and have a look. The interesting thing there is it got 32 million results. So there's a lot of information out there showing that pet cats do have benefit to, obviously, people, and the owners of those cats. So the first, we'll read the first heading. So it says, reduce stress and anxiety. Owning a cat can be soothing, can trigger calming chemicals in the body, decreasing stress and anxiety levels. Therapeutic benefits, calming effect of owning a cat, releases oxytocin, hormone known for inducing feelings of love and trust. So that's just the top hit. We've got 32 million other obviously results coming up from there. So as we said, some of the other things that came up in those panels, pet owners are healthier than non-pet owners, lower blood pressure, heart rate, heart disease risk, improved mental health, we've gone over that, reduced stress and anxiety, companionship, you are not alone. Pet owners, interestingly, make friends more easily. I think they often discuss their pets. cats are the owner's friend. It is part of a person's lifestyle. They do have them as part of the family. The other thing here is obviously people don't necessarily choose to develop mental health. They don't choose to become lonely. So someone may move down to Maui thinking, I'm fine, I don't need a companion, and then things may change. Obviously the people that are already living in Maui, a lot of them do have an interest in keeping their pet cats, but being able to for their lifestyle going forward. So secondly, looking at the definition of cats, so an alternative definition is given by the Ministry for Primary Industries. So that's included in the Code of Welfare for Companion Cats. The most recent edition was published in October 2018. And the important thing there is that the domestic cats contained in that are actually controlled under the Animal Welfare Act, not under the Biosecurity Act. So it does define feral cats, it defines them as solitary, and it basically, the important definition is that the population size, as I've put there, fluctuates largely independently of humans, it's self-sustaining, not dependent on input from companion cat populations. So these are cats that do not tend to go near, I guess, human settlements, and they do not tend to interact with domestic cats. And that's an important difference in definition from what's included in the proposed pest management plan, where it's clearly stated that feral cats, well, it's sort of used interchangeably, feral cats and stray cats, obviously reproducing with unneutered domestic cats. So I guess the important thing there, and as I say, through more in some of the cost-benefit analysis, but there has been mention of stray cats and colony cats. It hasn't been made clear how they would be managed, but the important fact is that they would need to be managed under the Animal Welfare Act. The interesting thing is reading, I had a read of the Otago proposed pest management plan. They have a specific definition in the beginning, which there's some FAQs which specifically ask what would happen to stray cats, and they have specifically said they're excluded. They have maintained the definition of a feral cat, but they've made it clear to everybody that it does not give people the option to go out killing stray cats and colony cats. And I think that hasn't been made clear in this proposal. So, as I say, the companion cats, the stray cats and the colony cats are controlled under the Animal Welfare Act. If you look into those, and I did give some details on that, there are requirements that if they're trapped, if they're unharmed, they're either released or they are transferred to an approved agency, somewhere like the SPCA. Now that agency is required to keep them for a minimum of 7 days to try and ensure they can try and find ownership. The other thing, I guess in line with that, obviously the proposal to microchip cats. I do support microchipping cats. I support neutering cats, but mainly because I don't want unwanted cats in the community. I am a vet, so aside with that, I also support microchipping. If an injured cat comes in, I want to be able to find the owner. It has been noted, though, that the microchips do sometimes fail. It's not that common. They can also migrate, which means with a scanner, they're normally placed under the skin at the back of the neck. So, but it is possible they can migrate elsewhere. So someone scanning quickly on the back of the neck may not find that chip. So while we've got the definition of a responsible cat owner, I don't think it's reasonable to just use the absence of a microchip to decide the fate of the cat. I think it does need to go down to the definition of what sort of cat is it, and what legislation does it need to be managed through. And as I say, if it goes through the SPCA as a domestic stray companion cat, as per the legislation, there is a 7-day window then whereby an owner can be tracked down and found if a chip was faulty. As I say, I'd already said it is a little bit unclear as to where that stray cat, colony cat population sits in the proposal. And I guess all of the above, I don't see the justification within the plan to remove that category of cats owned by responsible owners. So I guess in summary, so I am a veterinary surgeon, I do support responsible pet ownership. I support that without the plan. I do support microchipping and neutering of pets. And I'm fully aligned with the proposals as per Stewart Island, but I don't see any benefit or any justification for the complete removal of cats from Amara. Again, I think the definition of the cats being managed needs to be clear. I think it needs to work under the right legislation. And as we've said here, I don't see the justification within that plan for removing the responsible owners, domestic cats. As we've seen, there are health benefits. My own opinion is it may impact property values. It does reduce the number of people that would potentially be looking to buy that property. Obviously, people do have a lifestyle. They do have choices in their lifestyle, and removing the option of a pet cat, I think, is significant, and again, it reduces the diversion of the population down there. Obviously, we're targeting people that don't like cats or don't want cats, and there are other options. So, as I say, I'm fully supportive of the Stewart Island proposal around responsible cat ownership. I think the main thing that needs to be clear through the proposal is that the pest needs to be targeted. So we've defined feral cats as a pest. I don't argue with that. They have been defined as the ultimate predator. They don't rely on humans as a food source. And I think that's completely reasonable.
Thank you, Nicola.
Okay.
Yeah. Questions? Panelists?
None have been answered, thank you.
Answered? Mary?
I have a couple of questions, if I may. Thanks, Nicola. It's really interesting what you're saying. Can I just ask about how far a microchip might migrate? How far a microchip might migrate?
So they're implanted at the back of the neck. I've definitely found them going all the way down the leg, down the bottom of the leg. They can migrate all the way across the side. They can go a long way. So they're not necessarily in a small area around there. If we ever get animals in to check for microchips, and we are encouraged to do that, I mean, pretty much every animal that comes in, obviously we're looking for stolen animals or stray animals or whatever, we pretty much scan the whole animal.
And is that particular to cats?
No. I mean, one option you could have, which I suspect is not feasible, x-rays will show up a microchip. They do have metal components, so they will show up on the mic. So on occasion we've had a cat in and we know it's been microchipped, you can x-ray. But often if the chip is failed, we'll replace it with a new chip. So that's not that common, but it does happen. And that's another reason when animals come in for annual health checks that we do check the microchip, make sure it's still working.
Could I ask a second?
Indeed.
The second thing I'm wondering about is I can track the movement from domestic cat to stray, perhaps to feral. Is that a fair path?
It's a little bit hard to say. I mean, I think stray cats can become wild over several generations. Whether they're the same category, you definitely get, I guess, stray cats that are hard to manage. But whether their behaviour has changed to move into the definition of a feral cat, it's hard to say. They say that the definition given there is that your feral cat is not reliant on you know, humans, whereas if you've got a wild stray cat, it's likely to be around the houses and looking for food.
Why I'm asking is there any movement the other way? Do feral cats ever become stray and then re-domesticated, you know, with a kindly owner?
I don't have a whole lot of experience in that. I know in the UK, so where I worked for 10 years in the UK, and we did a lot of charity work. We had a lot of rescue charities that did trap cats, bring them in, neuter them, re-release them. I have to say, I would say the majority of those were probably stray cats that had gone wild rather than true feral cats. They were around, obviously, human populations.
Okay, thank you.
Charlotte, great. No questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it. So it's 9:45 and I think we've got our next submitter at 10:30. So we will adjourn the hearings at this point and reconvene at 10:30. Thank you. There is tea and coffee in the hearings, and invite the next submitter, who is William and Julie Smelly, to take the